So I want to think about the second verse, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So just around the three heads, as usual. First of all, a trusted brother, which might seem a bit strange as he calls him his son, but we'll consider that. A trusted brother. Secondly, a threefold blessing, for we read there, grace, mercy, and peace. And then a twofold bond from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So first of all then, a trusted brother unto Timothy. Timothy comes up an awful lot in the New Testament, and we may not think of Timothy as being one of the books of the Bible in the fact that of a writer, but nevertheless he was very important to the work of the gospel in the New Testament times. He was found with the Apostle Paul on many occasions, and we know that Paul was much encouraged by him. Very important, isn't it, to be an encourager? And we may not be able to do all kinds of different things within the church, but we can encourage other people who are doing it. And we can also pray, of course, for those who are doing it. And Timothy certainly was a great encouragement to the apostle. And we can see that in just in the terminology which he uses here, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Or as the margin has there, my genuine child in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Genuine child, of course, we might immediately think, well, maybe Paul was his father. We don't know that Paul was married. It seems that he wasn't. He says he has power to do so, but it doesn't say that he was married. But we can find that certainly he wasn't his actual father. If you turn to Acts and chapter 16, it's the first time we come across Timothy. Acts chapter 16. And in verse 1, it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So it's very clear that his father was a Greek, so it wasn't Paul. So Paul here, where he speaks about his own son, it does actually say it in this phrase, doesn't it? Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. So he's speaking about a person who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly whether he came to know Christ through Paul's preaching, that would seem the most obvious meaning of the words here, or else he was taught by Paul, and so he became a student of Paul and learned through Paul. But certainly he was working with Paul an awful lot. If we just look at a few verses, there are more than I'm going to show you, but there are a good number of verses which speak about Timothy, and I've picked these ones so because they convey something in particular. So Romans chapter 16, first of all. Romans 16. Where we read in verse 21, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Timotheus, my work fellow. So Timothy was a worker, and we see this man as a person who was with the Apostle Paul, and worked with the Apostle Paul, preached with the Apostle Paul, certainly ministered both with Paul and when Paul had sent him to do particular works in particular places. And so we know that Paul certainly trusted Timothy very greatly. And here again, as we see there in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So here is someone who is a work fellow, and work fellows are important to us. It's good to have someone to work with. We know the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the disciples two by two. They had work fellows who worked with them and encouraged them and were able to take up a part of the responsibility. Turn to 1 Corinthians then and chapter 4. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 17. get someone to read it. That's what Brian used to do. Always worked, all right? Yeah, you'll have to look it up now, Marana. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Okay, so speaking of his ways, he's not talking about Timotheus' ways in the way that Paul's ways in the way that he deals with himself, but where he is going can teach him, show them where he's been and what he's doing and the different things that he has done. But the key part there, of course, is who is my beloved son, first of all. So there is a very close bond and faithful in the Lord. A faithful person, a faithful friend, someone who's faithful is so very important. Faithful people don't give up on you. Faithful people are always there by you. Faithful people are the best, I suppose you could say, people that you could have around you. People who are faithful. And certainly Paul considered Timothy to be a faithful person and who was with him in the Lord. And chapter 16 of 1 Timothy also, chapter 16 of 1 Timothy, you will be very hard pushed to find. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 10. And all of these things just add a little bit more to Timothy's character. So 1 Timothy 16 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians, did I say that? I keep getting confused with Timothy, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 10. Somebody else wants to read that one. Okay, just read on the next verse. Okay, despise him, that seems a very strange thing to write, but then of course it says to Timothy himself, let no man despise thy youth, and it could be that is what he is speaking about here. He's only a young man, perhaps he looks young, and as people get older, one of the first things that makes you realize that you're getting old is when you look at policemen and they look as if they're still at school, and people have often remarked on that. I'm sure the policemen are getting younger. So maybe Timothy was a very young man and therefore people wouldn't particularly take notice of him. But he says, don't despise him, but because he is a man that worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. And that is a very high commendation, because Paul certainly worked the work of the Lord very, very hard indeed. And then just turn over the page to 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 1. And if we read, somebody read that one. No. So here Timothy is with him, and Timothy is often with him, it seems, and he puts him in this salutation to say that it's both from me and from Timothy. Timothy is our brother. Timothy is one with me. We work together. And again, a very high commendation. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20. Philippians 2 verses 19 and 20. Someone else read that one. We noted this a couple of weeks ago. These words, these verses. Philippians 2, 19 and 20. Somebody read. Right. So, again, I have no man like-minded. So, Timothy is one of a kind here. Timothy is one in a million. Timothy is faithful. Timothy works. Timothy stands by him. Timothy has a natural care for them and for whosoever he is with. He is just one of those characters that you can trust. And Paul is willing to cast all things, if you like, into Timothy, onto Timothy, and trust that he will not let him down. So there were some people who let him down. Well, there was Mark, who went back, remember, and there was some dispute between Barnabas and Paul because Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him, and Paul said, no way, last time he came with us, he went back halfway through, and I don't want him. Later on, we read that Paul says, take Mark and bring him with you. It's profitable to me for the ministry. But certainly, Paul was not for having Mark with him at that point. Paul writes later on, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so Demas, he couldn't trust him. But Timothy is sure of. Timothy is a man who will not fail, who will not go back. He will always be there. And Paul certainly was willing to rest upon him. We'll just leave those there, I think. But a trusted brother then, this man Timothy, and someone very important. And the exhortation, I suppose, to all of our hearts is, well, what are we like? How are we looked upon by our brothers and sisters in Christ within the church? How are we looked upon by people in the world? Are we trustworthy? Are we people that they can rely upon? Do they know that they can put their trust in us and we won't fail them? It's important that we are trustworthy. And as we are to the Lord, the Lord is, of course, faithful to us. Sometimes we feel that we're not very faithful to him. But that is what we need to be. And we need to be consistent, and we need to press on, and we need to overcome the world through Jesus Christ. So he writes to Timothy then. And that's something of the character. We'll probably come up back to the different characteristics of Timothy as we go on through the epistle. The second thing, then, is the threefold blessing here. For Paul writes grace, mercy, and peace. Often he writes grace and peace, but it's not very often that he writes grace, mercy, and peace. And so this threefold blessing is given. Well, the first thing that came to my mind in just considering the heading, the threefold blessing, was, of course, that threefold blessing in Numbers chapter 6. So let's just look back at Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, well known, I'm sure, to all of us, whether we can all quote it. I never think that I can quote it. Pardon? I'm always afraid that I've got a bit missing or I've got it backwards or something. So, but here we have the Aaronic blessing. So in verse 23... verse 22, really. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. There's quite a similarity there, I was thinking, as I read that. Not the same order, but there is quite a similarity which is given. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. Well, there's the grace, of course, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, give thee peace. There's the peace part of it. So the mercy, well, where does the mercy come? Well, it is, of course, in the whole of the thing, isn't it? Because the Lord is saying to them, you shall bless the children of Israel, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. That is a mercy. That is showing mercy, because they were unworthy to come into the presence of God. But when we think about this threefold blessing, there is also an order in it, isn't there? Because grace comes first. Grace is the fact that God looks upon us at all. Grace is often used, that acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, which has its place, I suppose, but really doesn't describe quite what grace is, that God looks upon us. Well, we can just stop there, really. God looks upon us, because that's grace. We have sinned against him. We have rejected him. We have hardened our hearts against him. And yet, he hasn't just destroyed the world and built another one, but he has looked upon us to redeem a people unto himself through Jesus Christ. And that is grace. That's where it all begins, in the grace of God. And perhaps the very words there from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord gives us a look at where that grace emanates from. The grace of God, that God looks upon us unworthy creatures and even has a consideration for us, to look upon us and to be aware of us. It is a tremendous thing that God should look down. That's strange terminology, isn't it? But look down from heaven. We always think about heaven as being above us. But God is here, and God sees us as we are. And when we think about what we are, if we're honest with ourselves, we are corrupt. And why does God look upon us? Why is he mindful of us, as the psalmist puts it? He made us a little lower than the angels, but he is crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because God is gracious, because God has a kindness about him, because God has a love about him. In fact, the scripture tells us that God is love. He is gracious. And that grace, we might think, it's a strange salutation, because Timothy, my own son in the faith, here is someone who has already received grace, evidently. The grace of salvation has been shown to him. He's already a Christian. Mercy, well, he's already received mercy. He's already a Christian. And peace, well, he has peace with God, certainly, and he has already received that as well. So why is Paul writing this? We can understand why he might write that to a church, because there will be people within the church who need grace, mercy, and peace. But to Timothy? But of course, that grace and mercy and peace, which is shown to us by God, is also bestowed upon us from God. And here it says, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I wonder if what the apostle is saying, not only the grace and the mercy and peace which you have experienced, but grace and mercy and peace which might be built into you as you deal with the church, because he is writing here as to Timothy as a pastor, and how Timothy is to deal with the church. And he will need grace, and he will need mercy, and he will be seeking to instill a peace within the people, that there might be a fellowship amongst them. So it's a kind of a twofold thing here, the grace, the mercy, and peace which he has received, but the grace and mercy and peace which also needs to flow through him. So grace, first of all, then, the love of God, the kindness of God, the very looking of God upon us. Mercy, of course, is showing us what we, or withholding from us what we deserve, the destruction we deserve. And, well, we have to say, well, Timothy, the same as all of us, need that day by day, because there are multiple times, no doubt within a day, when God will say, oh, that's enough of that now. I can't do you anymore. You failed again. And I've given you a chance, but you didn't really take it. So I'll go on and move on to somebody else. Of course, if God did that, then none of us would be saved, because we all fail and we all fall short of the glory of God. But God is merciful to us day by day. And in all of our faults, and all of our weaknesses, all of our failings, God overlooks them, because Jesus Christ has died upon the cross of Calvary. And he continues in his grace toward us, and his mercy toward us. And peace, of course. Peace, first of all, the peace of God, which reigns within our hearts if we are Christ's. Then also the peace which Paul wishes upon him, that there might be peace for him where he is. Because when you're in a church, you know, I thank the Lord for the peace that we have in our congregation. But there are churches where there's all kinds of things going on behind the scenes, and little groups here and little groups there, and people arguing with each other and fighting with each other, and stopping coming because somebody said this or somebody said that or did this or didn't do this, and the other person doesn't even know what they didn't do. You know, it's an issue, isn't it? But he asked for peace, that there might be a peace for Timothy. And no doubt the peace also in the world, we are to, as much as lieth in us, be at peace with all men. But again, we've looked at that verse in the past. As much as lieth in us, we can be at peace. But that doesn't necessarily mean the world will be at peace with us. But he is wishing this and praying this for Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace. And then from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, a twofold bond. And again, that twofold nature brought something to mind, and that was from Matthew and chapter 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and, oh, that's not the right verse. That's not the right verse at all. No, because I was going to say something else, and that's what that verse is about. That's just about call no man father, because it says from God our Father. And Paul, I don't know why it's there, because it was about Paul calling Timothy his son. So that verse has crept in the wrong place, and I didn't use it in the end anyway. John chapter 10 is where I mean to be taking you. John chapter 10 and verse 27. And here Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So that's an interesting verse in this context, because first of all, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, which would be rather a blasphemous thing if these two were not one and weren't the God, the triune God of heaven, or two persons of the triune God anyway. But from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, first of all, from God our Father, I find it interesting in John 10 that it says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That speaks to me, what Jesus is saying is, well, I've got them in my hand, but I might be weak, but my Father is greater than all, and none can pluck them out. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he is saying is that I give them eternal life, none can pluck them out of my hand, but before I give them eternal life, they're in the Father's hand, and none can pluck them out of his hand either. Because what he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And so my Father held them from eternity, if you can have from eternity. God holds them in eternity and gives them to Christ. And then Christ gives them eternal life, and none can pluck them out of his hand. But none can pluck them out of his Father's hand before that. So nothing's going to happen to stop the elect from coming to God, because none can pluck them out of the Father's hand. So before they come to Christ, they are in the Father's hand, and the Lord knows them. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at there. And so here, where we see from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, from God our Father, we see grace and mercy and peace. But God our Father is the one who has held us from eternity. He is our Father, and he is indeed the Father of all mankind, but he is particularly our Father because he has called us to himself. But it's interesting how Jesus always calls him the Father, and he calls himself the Son of Man, but he calls the Father, and he says to the disciples, when you pray, say, our Father, which is in heaven. And that verse, perhaps we could go back to it even from Matthew 23, verse 9. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. And that applies to everyone. We have one Father. Our God is Father. You look at Luke's Gospel and you go back through the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it says, which was of Adam, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So Adam was the son of God, in the fact that God created him, and so we are all the offspring, in that sense, of God. So he is our Father. So from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord, of course, being the one who has redeemed us by his blood upon the cross of Calvary. So there is this double bond. We are bound to God. We are bound by election. We are bound by redemption. We are held in the grip of the Almighty. And the apostle is saying to Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is the strength which he has. And it's very important to establish our strength before we go on, because Timothy has to deal with things here. We see that he was to deal with some that were teaching other doctrine, giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. And as soon as you start dealing with those things, those questions begin to get into your head. And you begin to think, I can see the point there. And the devil can use that to weaken you. But of course, if we are established in Christ, then that is where our strength comes from. And we need to maintain that fellowship with the Lord in the bond of love. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for being with us tonight. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst encourage us in the way of the Lord, and that thy grace and mercy and peace might be unto us each one. And Father, that we might know the blessing of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.